Greetings all, and welcome to the Peace Alliance Monthly Field Call for the month of August. My name is Dan Kahn. I'm the National Field Coordinator for the Peace Alliance, and it's a pleasure to have you all with us tonight. Tonight, we've got a very special call. They're all pretty special, but something that makes this one special is that we're going to have a few of our board members joining us to be talking about an initiative. I'm sorry, Zoom is sending me a message. That's fine. Message that I don't really need to know. These board members are going to be sharing about an initiative that we're getting ready to launch for the fall election season. To do with contacting candidates for elective office and current members of elective office to share some important priorities with them. So in a few minutes, I'm going to introduce two of our board members who are going to share about that initiative. And after that, we're going to have a chance for discussion with you because we really want to hear feedback from you about your thoughts and feelings and input around this initiative. So after that, we're going to talk a little bit about the actions that we're recommending for this month. And then we're going to hear from Karen Johnson, an update on the Department of Peacebuilding Committee, and also about our advocacy days that are coming up in September. And then we'll have a chance to share from the field some more about what's happening in your neck of the woods in terms of peace building locally, on the community level, on the state level, on the federal level, wherever you're working and or concerned. So I really thank you all deeply for joining us. First, I'm going to introduce, now you have to bear with me a little bit because we're relatively new to this technology. This is our Zoom technology. I want to introduce Matthew Albrecht, but I do not see him currently. Let me find him. 510-289. He may be having a hard time getting on. Okay, so I might put Terry on the spot here while I try to help Matthew to get on. Another one of our fabulous board members is with us, Terry Mason. Terry, give me a nod if I can do it to you. Yes, thank you. So our board has been working on an initiative that it basically is two-pronged. It involves each of us taking a chance to look at how we can talk about politics in a way that really walks our talk for peace building. The second part is how we approach our elected members, elected officials, and ask them to do the same. Ask them to use compassion, to use mindfulness, to use respect in this electoral process. Okay. And then the third part of it is actually to promote our five cornerstones of peace building during this upcoming electoral cycle. So I'm going to ask Terry to go into a little more detail while I try to get Matthew, who's going to actually redraft of the statement along these lines that we're asking our elected officials and candidates to sign on to. So Terry, you're unmuted, and I'm going to ask you to go ahead and fill in some pieces for us while I try to get Matthew on board.
Hi, everybody. Can you hear me? Can you hear me all right? Dan, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Terry. Sorry.
Okay, you're fine. Great. Thank you. And just so you know, both Matthew and Stephen are having some difficulties, but I think Matthew just joined. Anyway, we are really interested in a conversation this evening because we are wanting to mount an initiative to engage both our incumbent elected officials and also those candidates that are running in a conversation. And in addition to all the people across the country who are engaged in the election cycle, I think that we can all agree that the country is very divided and there's a lot of polarization going on. And as peace builders and peacemakers, our goal is to try to bring people together and to open conversation and dialogue that can be more productive than that. And so we're drafting a statement that all of you can join in helping us draft, because we have a good start, but we want your participation in helping us make it clearer and cleaner and more direct and representative of all of your hearts and your minds. So we really are hoping for a good conversation tonight with all of you interacting and sharing your thoughts and ideas with us. In addition, we're going to work on a statement that we will engage our elected officials and our candidates to sign to support peace building initiatives when they are elected in their policy actions. So we want to make peace building our policy priority. And by peace building, we're talking about our five cornerstones of peace. And if you look at the website, you'll see this, that we have five cornerstones of peace. And we believe these to be the five areas of peace building that encompass the broad spectrum of where peace needs to be a focus. The first is teaching peace in schools. We support bringing into our schools nonviolence conflict resolution curricula with tools such as social emotional learning, communication techniques, restorative processes, mindfulness, and other proven skills to increase graduation rates and transform violence, bullying, truancy, and other challenges facing youth. The second cornerstone is humanizing justice systems. We support moving away from overly punitive policies toward healing-oriented criminal and juvenile justice approaches. We advocate for restorative justice, alternative incarceration programs, trauma-informed systems, and prisoner rehabilitation and reentry programs. The third is empowering community peace building. We support comprehensive dialogue and action in communities to address crime, violence, and gangs. Effective programming includes hands-on street outreach and intervention, mental health services, out-of-school programs, police community relations, and arts-based practices. The fourth cornerstone is fostering international peace. We support peace-building approaches to international conflict and atrocity prevention in hotspots through mediation, diplomacy, and effective on-the-ground programs. Specific answers to this challenge involve international development, post-conflict justice, humanitarian aid, mediation, and support for frameworks fostering the democratic process. And the fifth cornerstone is cultivating personal peace. Integrating peace in our own lives, with our children, in our relationships, in the workplace, and in our approach to activism through such methods as compassionate communication, mindfulness, empathy, and stress reduction. So these are the five cornerstones of peace that we advocate for, and we want to encourage our elected leaders, in addition to anyone who is running for office, to go after policy that supports peace building in all of these areas. So Dan, I don't know if Matthew and Steve are on the call now, and we can continue further.
Yeah, thanks, Terry. Thanks so much for that. Matthew is on, and Stephen should be joining us shortly. So Matthew, I'm going to unmute you, and the plan is to read us the draft that we have so far of this statement. Is that right?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you great. Thank you.
Yay. Glad to be here. Thanks, Terry. That was a great overview. Great reminder. Yeah. So why don't I read... as Terry said, there's a couple pieces here. There's some language around respectful, peaceful dialogue during the election season, and then there's the cornerstones. So, the cornerstones are definitely connected and related deeply, and we see them as integrated. But there's a sort of a separate piece. So, Terry went through those. I'll read what's around the peaceful dialogue, and we started this draft language for our elected officials primarily. So it kind of reflects that, but we're broadening it. We want everybody's feedback, but where we're sitting right now is we want to broaden it up for kind of all of us, this common understandings around what peaceful dialogue is and how we hold ourselves during this election season. So this is what I'm reading, but know that it's some of the language is geared more towards elected officials and candidates. But we're looking at broadening that. So let me read it to folks. I support, this is again, we're calling it a common understanding, which is a very common peace building term in the community. So we're saying, I support and commit to conducting myself during this campaign season to reflect the highest aspirations of the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. I will treat opposing candidates and or people to whom or with whom I disagree with respect, and I will at all times and to the best of my ability speak honestly and with integrity. I will support and promote cooperation and dialogue at local, state, federal, and international levels. And to that end, I commit to the following 4 points, which are: first, meeting and listening to those with whom I may not always agree, engaging in direct, open dialogue with all candidates and citizens in debates, discussions, media, community forums, and all discussions, being tough on the issues, while also being open and respectful with people in all my print and public discourse. Again, that was for candidates. And representing my constituents fairly, regardless of their political position, social identity, economic status, religion, race, or ethnicity. So that was an early draft, and we'll obviously shift some of the language to broaden it. That's our current hope, and we'd love everybody's feedback when the time comes. And when Stephen gets on, he'll really articulate for us, much better than I could anyway, the kind of why we think this is really important right now, given especially what's going on in the world and especially in our own political discourse right now in the United States. Is he on, or should we chat more, Dan?
Yeah, Steve's with us.
Oh, good.
And I believe he's our newest board member. Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is
newly elected. He's a longtime peace builder. Steve, do you want to say a little bit about yourself before you start, just so people can get to know you as well?
Okay. Can people see me?
Not now. You have control.
I'm really sorry. I don't know what's going on. I had the worst time getting in, and so I don't see. But at least you can hear me. Okay. So just briefly, because I know it's late for a lot of people. I've worked on a number of conflicts. So I've been a professional negotiator in a number of wars, in active wars, including the war in Congo, the Ethiopia-Eritrean war, a lot of wars, small wars people don't hear about. And so that's really what I've done the last few years. I've worked a lot on countering violent extremism throughout the world. And so that's my background. If you'd like, I can talk just really quickly about what Matt just presented and explain what it is and why I suggested it. The common understanding is it's a very often used tool in peace building. What a common understanding is something that if you were dealing with people in conflict, it's a list of things. Basically, it's a punch list of things that people agree are important. They don't even have to agree about them. In fact, they can be some of the contentious issues. The idea is to get people to focus on the issues at hand. Now, what the common understandings document is sort of a return to first principles for the U.S. electoral system. It is to try and get people to begin thinking again about how democracy is supposed to work in the United States and how it has worked, in many cases, worked fairly well for a long time. We all know there's lots of problems, but you know, most of the time it just works. And people don't pay attention to it. But now it's under extreme pressure. And that pressure is coming from a lot of directions. We have a lack of trust in our electoral system. We have a real tense situation between the parties. And I'd be happy to talk a bit more about that, because one of the areas that I've focused a lot on was the cause of the genocide in Rwanda. And I worked in Rwanda and know a fair amount about how that took place. So that was the genesis of this, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you, Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, we can open this up. It's a pretty broad topic that you've just heard.
Brian.
Looking at what are the... Oh, now we can see you. Great. Welcome visually. What are the first principles of our society as a starting place? Is the question, how do we address that as a voting, advocating, organizing population? So there's a button you can push to raise your hand. If you're on your phone and don't have a screen to look at, you can press 9, and that will raise your hand. Otherwise, there's an icon, raise your hand, to let me know that you want to speak and join this discussion. We have several other board members on the call, and they may wish to chime in. But for now, I'm looking for hands. For anyone who has a question about this initiative or a thought to share about it, have you had challenges in talking about politics lately? And are you looking for a way that we can get back to the basics of what we all can prioritize? What do we want to have as a culture?
Mm-hmm.
Until hands start going up, I could ask one of our other board members. Oh, is your hand going up because you don't see a way to raise your hand on the screen?
Yeah, I don't have a hand button either.
Yeah, I don't have one on my Mac. Maybe it's a Mac thing. I don't know. Well, that's a good thing for us to figure out for future, I suppose.
Yeah.
Anyway, that wasn't why I was raising my hand. I was raising my hand. I wonder if I could help just quickly to give a little more context about what we see this could look like for folks to support us, like how they might work with these things. Terry, I missed the first part of what you said. So if you said it, I don't want to repeat it. Did you? Don't know. Okay. Well, I'll just say just quickly, what we're hoping is we want to get both these peace-building cornerstones that Terry read and this kind of common understanding, peaceful dialogues piece that Steve was talking about. We want to really get it out into our communities and into the, you know, hopefully the election dialogue. Obviously, Steve just beautifully articulated why around the peaceful dialogue, why it's important. I think there's probably going to be questions around it. But for the peace-building cornerstones, those are our core values. These are the areas with which we believe that both internationally and domestically, a peace-building approach can help. So if we can get folks excited enough, and if it feels resonant enough, and that's part of what we want to hear from everyone tonight, to go out to, there'll be some easy things one can do. We'll have some petitions set up on our website where you can write your elected officials, for example, both around both of those initiatives. We can ask them to support the peace building cornerstones as a part of their platform of what they're supporting, you know, criminal justice reform and smart mm-hmm. peace buildings brought in, international peace building support for all the institutions we need in place and the on the ground work, et cetera, around all those cornerstones. And then for the peaceful dialogues, we do the same thing. We can write them with an easy, you know, action to encourage them to deepen the dialogue and bring in a more peaceful perspective. And then alternatively, we could also, you know, folks could go to community forums, like for example, say your candidates are having a debate or a town hall, which they will be doing all over, you know, in the congressional districts as well as the Senate. You know, the senators will be traveling around if you have senators running for office right now. But certainly in the House of Representatives, everybody has an election coming up. To bring, you know, go to the Q&A session and bring these topics with you and bring them up. Ask them for their support in public. That's a great way to raise the bar. They may not commit to something right away, but it puts it in their consciousness and it raises the awareness. And you can do other things. You can make a call to the office. You could even, if you're feeling really bold and excited, set up a meeting with your elected official or the candidate. Bring some friends with you. Bring some other supporters and go and talk to them about these things. If there's excitement, we'll help set up some training material to make it easy. This is the kind of stuff folks do who want to make a difference and want to really change the conversation, is they, especially around policy, is they go and they meet with and essentially citizen lobby their elected officials and or candidates. So those are a few of the ways. There may be other more creative things too, having house parties, building awareness. We hope certainly that the peace building cornerstones could be a long-term initiative. That's part of what we're looking at, that it's not just through the election season, you know, that even after folks are elected, we'll keep going to them saying, hey, we want this to be essentially a platform for peace building that is, you know, more broadly supported. So I don't know if Terry or Steve or Dan, I see Steve and Dan.
Yeah. Thank you, Matt. That was a really good summary of the reason of putting this together and how it might be effective. I would note that this particular tactic was actually used in the war in Congo. We put together a list of common understandings that all three parties signed on to, and it was extremely effective. And the reason I use the word, and I know conflict is probably uncomfortable for some people, potentially, but I do think that the U.S. is really in a very difficult place right now, because I spend a lot of my time out of the country working with other countries that are struggling. And it's what's happening in the U.S. is actually a worldwide phenomenon. It's happening throughout Europe. It's happening in Brazil. You know, it's happening in South Asia. It's the stress that's going on in all of our societies as all the change is taking place so rapidly. And it's, you know, immigrants come up time and time again. You know, I was in Bangladesh when the Rohingya crisis started, which many of you may be aware of. So this particular tool can be extremely effective if it's used. And the idea is that the political class would sign on to it. So you want to get it in front of them. That means it has to be publicized. It has to be, everyone has to know about it. People, so the way that you could be effective is going to the town hall meetings and present that to your elected official and say, look, this is a set of common understandings. It's very basic to American democracy. We'd like you to sign on to this. It doesn't mean you agree with your opponents or you're going to agree to, you know, to completely unilaterally disarm your campaign. What it says is these are the principles of democracy that you agree to adhere to. And this is how we do things in the U.S. That's really the starting point. And we know that there'll be extremes that will not want to do this, and that's fine. They never want to do it. What you're trying to do is put together a strong center coalition to hold the body politic together, because it's very frayed in the U.S. right now. And so that's the reason for doing this, is to have people have something concrete to hold on to and say, this is what we stand for. This is who we are, and this is how we do things. And this is what's not acceptable. You know, we don't do things, you know, the way other countries may do them. This is how we do it in America. And to, like, pull people back to that common center that we all have, if that makes sense.
Thank you very much to me. Thank you, Stephen. I've got some info about raising your hand. Supposedly on your, there's a button that says more on your screen. And if you click more, there are three dots indicating a menu, and then your menu will give you the option to raise your hand. Yeah, from what I was hearing from you and Steve and Matthew, the more I'm hearing, the more excited I am about this initiative. And the more I think this is really a place where the Peace Alliance belongs in terms of looking at part of our society and really trying to keep us healthy, to keep dialogue flowing. It's not a given that democracies survive. It's not a given that civilizations are sustainable.
No.
Yeah.
Dan, I just wanted to, sorry, this is such a rich dialogue, so I hate to get technical, but we won't get anybody's feedback unless we're able to raise hands. I don't know if you're seeing any raised hands, but there's no more on my screen. And it does, I went and looked on Zoom's website. People can push option Y. Let me try that and see if you see my hand raised. But I think there's a setting for the host. I know it's hard because you're facilitating and hosting. But there's a setting
to turn
on or off.
Option Y works.
On a computer, if you have option Y, you can raise your hand. But if you're on the phone, I don't know yet. I'll keep peeking.
I just saw Judy's hand go up and down, so I guess she was able to. And on a phone, I think you can press *9 and your hand will raise.
Yay.
All right. Judy, did you intend to raise your hand, or were you experimenting to show us that you could?
I was both. Yes, definitely option Y seemed to work, so that's great. And I just want to, you know, underline for me in this signing document, one of the most important lines is the first line, which is a line that actually Stephen constructed about the First Amendment. And I think that one of the things that we all are feeling is a bit like we're losing our democracy. And I love the reference back to our founding fathers and really what they wanted with regard to our country. And one of them, obviously, is freedom of speech and the honoring of different opinions. So I think that that's the crux of the matter, is that we need to learn to listen and we need to learn to honor other people's opinion and be in alignment, not necessarily agreement, the distinction between, you know, hearing other people's opinion, not necessarily agreeing with them, but in being in alignment and finding common ground. So I'm excited to hear and get feedback from the field about, you know, how does that feel to everyone out there in the wider world? And do people really feel that's important? I certainly personally do, but that's just one person in millions. That I think the answer is dialogue and the answer is communication. And we seem to be getting more and more polarized against it for fear of hurting feelings, for fear of being of other family members, for fear of whatever. One of the things my husband, who's a communications expert, says, you know, if someone says something you don't agree with, you can always say, isn't that interesting? You don't have to necessarily vote either way, but you could say, isn't that interesting? And validate the fact that they have a thought. So there are lots of things we can do, but back to the First Amendment and the importance of that thing, I think it's critical. And we've all kind of forgotten it.
Thanks, Judy. I do see one hand is up, and someone's calling in from the phone, so I don't know your name, but it's from area code 707. So I'll go ahead and unmute you if you know you're in 707-838 is the next few numbers. You're unmuted, and you can introduce yourself if you like and let us know what's on your mind.
Oh, that's me. I'm sorry, I was just trying out to see if it worked. So, yes, I had my hand up. I've been asked to help somebody with their campaign for city council. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, this is Maggie Curran from Windsor. Anyway, I was wondering if I should give her this information before we begin. We're going to begin it. We're going to begin the work in a couple of weeks. So I really don't think that I'm a good person to do this. I have no political education or in managing a campaign or anything like that, but she likes what I say, you know. So met her at the Democratic Club, and she's a local lady, she's Latino, she's a housewife, and she has attended every meeting, city council meeting, for over a year. So she knows what it is and everything, you know. But anyway, any advice? Does anybody have any advice? how I should progress.
I see Steve's hand went up. I assume that means he has something he wants to say about this. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes.
You're unmuted, Steve. Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
You said something really important, which is that you don't have any political experience.
Right
now, I'm living in southwestern Ohio, which is a place that is as deep red as you can get. And we have people running for office who have never been political in their lives. I think if there was ever a time that people needed to step up and claim their civic position is now. So I would say, don't worry about it. I've seen so many people step up and do things that go beyond their sphere of, you know, vulnerability. They've just broken right through and they don't even look behind themselves. So, and if I can, I want to say quickly something that has come up a few times and will come up in the future. So let's just talk very quickly politics. It's very easy to put the blame on one side, but not everyone is extreme. And so it's really important to maintain the neutral position. And that's what this signing, it's a signing statement. It's also an acceptance of common understandings. It's intended to be neutral, something that everyone agrees is important. And that should help because Matt and everyone did a fantastic job of pulling this together. So that's what that's about. But also I would say one other thing, the temptation going forward is going to be really, it's going to be very tempting to react to provocations. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, Donald Trump today calling a woman a dog. I mean, the president of the United States called a woman who he didn't like a dog and other things as well. And much, much more of that's going to come out. There was also, and this is not saying there's balance or anything at all, but there's reaction and other things happening in the demonstrations in Washington. There were a lot of reports that when the Antifa could not find enough white supremacists to go after, they went after the reporters. Mm. So we're living in really difficult times. And so what I hope is going forward, everyone can start thinking about how to not react to provocation, because that's going to be essential. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thanks.
How do I put Terry, my hand?
Go ahead, Maggie.
Yeah, how do I put my hand down?
Can you put your hand down? I can do it. I have control of your hand. Did you feel it go down? Terry Mason had her hand up as well. Terry, go ahead.
Well, Matthew had something to say.
Oh. I was going to follow up with Maggie, but if you are, go ahead, Terry, please.
Well, I was following up with Maggie too. You go first. You.
Okay. Maggie, I was just going to say too, I'm glad you're doing it. And, you know,
honored, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's great. That's
and
great.
I have run as a delegate to represent my district at the Democratic Party conventions. I did that for about 6 years, and I've been very active on it's not like I don't know about things. I do, and I've campaigned. Dennis Kucinich onwards, I've always been on somebody's campaign, so I do know a little bit about things. But
absolutely,
you know, I love
very engaged.
I do, and I think that Rosa would—it would be a nice platform for her to begin her campaign—is to have that there.
Right, the peaceful dialogues, and also, you know, some of those cornerstones are a very good fit for communities. You know, especially teaching peace in schools and community empowering community peace building. There's a lot, I think. You know, you're in a position where you're literally going to be working with a candidate. Others, you know, won't be in that position, but you know, I think that could be a great place to bring it. I'm curious though, do you have, like, because we want feedback, do you have thoughts around bringing those to even your candidate? Does it feel inspiring to you? Does it feel not? Where are you at with that? Or if you're anywhere, you may not be.
Well, I was basically looking at where we're going to get funds from, and the outreach to reaching people. And when you mentioned house parties, I thought this would be a big thing for her to have some house parties.
Yeah.
Is that answering your question?
Well, kind of. You know, I think I don't want to push it. It's all good. It's all good. I think that's you're sharing really useful information. It's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Terry, what were you going to share?
Yeah,
Maggie,
Terry.
Maggie, I just want to say that I think you're terribly modest saying you have no political background at all. I know you to be an extraordinary advocate for the Department of Peace Building, and you've done a lot of very effective lobbying and work in that area. So I think that you're terribly qualified to do this for this candidate, and she is wise to choose you. But I also just want to mention, though, that what Steve said earlier is we can't really hope to impact the extremes, right? We can only our goal with this statement that we're putting forth is to galvanize and raise up and bring forward the middle, the huge middle that in large part has fallen silent, possibly out of fear, possibly out of just retreating from the radical discourse between the extremes. But there are a lot of people across the middle. And I think if bringing forth the messages of the cornerstones of peace building within the platform of your candidate, that could easily pull in the middle when it comes to the voters in your districts, but also the funding. Because if people are interested in not getting into the polarized extremes and are interested in more grounding principles of the First Amendment and of our government and of our democracy, then I think that's a very powerful message to take.
Yeah, agree.
Steve, did your hand just go up again?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, what's on your mind?
Very, very brief. One thing I just thought of when you talked about your Democratic parties and things like that is consider asking for 5 minutes at the local Republican Party meeting to present this.
I tried that already. They laughed me out of the meeting. They didn't want to know anything about Department of Peace Building. But when somebody's running for office, it's a little different. So you're right. But try that.
Yeah, just let them know. I mean, you can spend 5 minutes, just ask 5 minutes of their time.
Yeah, and even if it's not the Department of Peacebuilding, Maggie, if it's the five cornerstones, if it's policy related to reducing violence and building a more peaceful society in those five areas, in schools and communities and justice systems, they might be willing to give you 5 minutes.
Well, all this has to be run against Rosa. I have to see what her perspective is on everything. Mm. But that's what she's asking me for, just advice. Mm-hmm. And, direction, I guess.
I have no doubt you will give her great advice.
Yeah. Thank you.
So I see no more hands up at the moment. I kind of want to toss in 2 cents of my own regarding some potentially difficult conversations. Judy offered one suggestion from her husband about saying, "Well, isn't that interesting? That can be a great first step potentially." And I think it demonstrates that you're still connected. Someone says something that you don't necessarily agree with. And in some of my work, I work with empathetic or nonviolent communication. Those of you who've studied or practiced NVC will recognize this, that a powerful tool for connection and understanding can be reflection. If someone says something, you don't have to agree with them. You can reflect back what you hear them saying, if you have the space to hear them. Reflect back what you hear them saying, and you could even guess at what's important to them based on what they said. There's something underlying their opinions which you can relate to. It might be a need for safety or integrity to be seen as powerful, to be seen as valuable. So that's taking it to a deeper level, but if you have space to hear someone and reflect what they're saying, they might actually reduce their temperature, reduce their blood pressure, and find a way to find space to hear you as well. So I just wanted to put a little plug in for that approach. I see another hand up, and it's from 808-889. I don't know who you are, but please introduce yourself. You're unmuted.
Aloha. My name is Leslie, and I live in Hawaii. And I had some reflection on what we were talking about, common understanding, and especially around First Amendment. The changes that I see, and I'm sure that we all see, in our culture, I'm an old timer, so I've got a lot of observation under my belt. First Amendment, everyone has the right to speak their mind, but increasingly it's gone from essays to paragraphs to sentences to now just slogans and bumper stickers and buttons, which don't have a whole lot of communication and get shouted a lot of the time anymore, so that's not really dialogue and it takes the place of dialogue, and that disturbs me, and I don't know anything that can be done about it, but I see that everything in this conversation today is working towards spending time exploring each other's viewpoints, and that's to be encouraged. I don't know what you can do about what's going on. One of the things that disturbed me and made me start thinking about this is a bumper sticker I saw recently and says, "It's a republic, stupid. F the democracy." And I'm going, what? If it's already a bumper sticker, that means there's more than one person that believes this and they're out there spreading it. And that's not going to make things any easier. It also sort of ties in with a very common understanding of democracy in this country, which is 50% plus one is the winner. And in a country where, in a culture where we now really prioritize winners and everybody else is the losers, because that's the only way you have winners, it creates a real serious tug of war that gets worse and worse and worse. Here in Hawaii, I have been exposed to a process called Ailike, which is a consensus building process. It comes out of the Hawaiian culture, but I don't know that it's strictly Hawaiian. And it is a process with protocol as almost as strict as Robert's Rules of Order say. But everyone gets heard. No one gets drowned out. No crosstalk, what have you. It's an amazingly powerful tool toward building consensus for any decision that needs to be made. And I have seen it take very divided groups on a particular issue, a particular decision that has to be made on an issue, and take a 50-50 split and bring it to consensus. I don't know how that would get incorporated, but I just throw it out there as something that I have experienced and that I find very valuable. And I don't know if that would help, but we're in a culture where it's sports or politics or whatever, it's all about winning now. And that conversation seems to need to shift. And I want us to be a part of that shift. And this sounds like the campaign to begin working on that. But that's all I got to say.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Leslie. I appreciate you sharing that. That's plenty of good food for thought. And it seems like a good time to remind folks that this conversation is being recorded. So if you want to reflect back on it and or share it with other folks in your circles, you can find it on our website within a couple of days. I see we have time for a couple more shares on this topic, and then we're going to probably need to move on. I see Walter Sylvester has your hand up. Welcome, Walter.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, hear you fine. Thanks.
Okay, fine. I think our last caller was talking about talking circles, restorative circles that I'm sure you're mostly familiar with that results in a consensus. I'm spending most of my time these days on restorative practices. I'm just curious, how many people are into that in a big way? Very good.
For those of you who can't see the video, we just saw a show of hands. A bunch of folks raised their hands. And
it's good to know you're not alone.
Yeah.
I'm in a very red area as far as politics go, and very regressive as far as peacemaking goes, although we do have a bright spot up in Gainesville. We have the Phoenix River Foundation, who you, I think, is on the board of this this particular body. I just finished up a book that'll be out in a couple of weeks. It's called We Do Peace Circles. And what we're trying to do there is we're trying to put peace circles and restorative practices into the spectrum of ADR. So basically what we've done is we've come up with what we call Peacekeeping 101. And Peacekeeping 101 is a spectrum that starts off with mindfulness and social and emotional learning, moves into negotiation, mediation, and then into restorative practices, which you are probably all aware of, that starts with the effective statements or I statements, restorative questions, impromptu chats, restorative circles, restorative meetings, and conferencing. So what we've done is we'll put these into a sequential spectrum. And with the idea is that all of these, nothing, we haven't reinvented anything, but we'll put them into a context that we can go to the school systems, especially the school systems in areas that have not embraced PBIS or restorative circles. If you're in California, you have no problem. But if you're in Central Florida, you have a big problem. So what we're trying to do is repackage peacemaking skills. We call it Peace Skills 101. Now, I've been working overseas with some people in Ireland. And in the next month or so, we're going to start a live series of online instruction. The first course is Getting Started with Restorative Practices. That'll be 2 mornings, 3 hours, 2 successive Saturdays. That'll be 3.5 hours each seminar. That'll be live. It'll be on Zoom like this. There'll be 20 people. Everybody will be able to see each other and talk with each other. The people who finish that first course go on to Facilitating with Restorative Practices, which is a three full days of instruction. And that'll be about a month after the first course. And then about 2 months from then, we'll do a 5-day train the trainers program. This will be 100% online, okay?
And is there someone where that people can find this? I'm sorry to interrupt you, Walter, but we do have a few other things we need to get to. Is there some place where people can find this or find you if they want to learn more about this?
You can just send me an email. Send it to Walt, WALT, at wedopeace.com. Okay, and if you just send me an email, I'll get back to you with the information. And also, I'd like to make you aware of the book that'll be coming out in about 2 weeks. It'll be both paperback and on Kindle. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks so much, Walter. I appreciate your work and appreciate you sharing about it. Mm-hmm. And while you're here, I want to make sure that you're aware that the Florida Restorative Justice Association is having a statewide conference. You may be aware of that in late September in Sarasota. So if you want to get together with other folks that care about restorative practices, check out floridarestorativejustice.com.
Oh, I'm a member. As a matter of fact,
fantastic.
As a matter of fact, I'd like to make a small short presentation on this up and coming October course at the convention, if there was any time.
Okay, well, send me a note. We'll see what we can do.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. All right, so there are, I think Maggie raised her hand in response to the restorative justice question, I'm guessing, but we may get back to it if we have time. For now, I want to pass the mic over to Karen Johnson. Karen's a member of our Department of Peacebuilding Committee, and I believe is going to give us an update on the Department of Peacebuilding campaign and also about Advocacy Days, which is coming up in September. So folks who haven't got that on their radar screen, it's an opportunity to come to Washington, D.C., receive some coaching before then and in Washington, D.C. on advocating for peacebuilding policies and programs. And if you're not going to make it to Washington, D.C., there's a way you can support the action from home. So, Karen, welcome, and you are unmuted.
Thank you, Dan. Yes, Department of Peacebuilding has been around for a while now. What are we at, 17th year? And we've gone through some cycles, and we're actually really enthusiastic about the one we're embarking on right now. So Advocacy Days in Washington, D.C. are September 24th through 26th. So that's a Monday through Wednesday, and people can come for all 3 days or just 1 day or 2 days as they like. Like Dan said, we'll have some coaching and some discussion in the mornings for either an hour or two, depending on your comfort level, if you need a little bit more coaching, if you're new at meeting with your members of Congress or staff, we can give you a little bit more instruction. And of course, we're going to have conference calls before we get to D.C., and we can do one-on-one coaching for anybody who would like that as well. Several of us are getting into Washington, D.C. on the 20th or the 21st because Campaign Nonviolence is having their convergence there that weekend. And some of us are going up to Toronto for the World Beyond War Conference. And we're doing a Department of Peacebuilding presentation jointly with the Canadian campaign as one of the many possibilities for the alternative to the war culture. So we're excited about that whole conference and certainly our part in it. A little bit of update on the legislation. We just added a new co-sponsor. I think it was just last week, maybe 2 weeks ago. So we're at 40 now. We're still just slowly adding a couple of a year after each reintroduction after a transition of a few years ago. But we're having a good listening from the people in Washington, D.C. and the people in the local offices as well. We also have an Amplify Our Voices aspect of this. So if you can't get to D.C., and certainly we encourage people to do fundraising around getting to D.C., then we've got an Amplify Our Voices flyer on our Department of Peacebuilding page as well, and registration links and other links are on that page for people to find out more information. I think that covers it in a nutshell. We're also doing a little bit of a sightseeing thing on Sunday. We've got some tickets for the African American Museum. Please excuse if you can hear my dog calling me in the background there. So we'll have a joint thing at 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock on Sunday, different groups of people going to the African American Museum before we hit the hill on Monday.
Wonderful, Karen. Thank you. If folks have questions about Advocacy Days or the DOP campaign, should they contact Nancy at peacealliance.org? Is that the best?
Yes, that's great. Yeah.
Okay. Nancy at peacealliance.org. Thanks so much for all you do, Karen. Thanks for being with us.
Welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. I have a message from Terry that Lynn Lannon, another one of our wonderful caring, dedicated board members would like to speak. Go ahead, Lynn, you are muted.
Thanks, Dan. For some reason, Command Y didn't work from, maybe it's the fog in San Francisco tonight, but anyway, it didn't work. My question is, you know, when we started, we were presenting as a board, as board members, we were presenting this statement. And I'd like to get a sense from people in the field if it's like, if for them, if it's a thumbs up or a thumbs down about this. We've talked about a number of things, but is this something that people feel would be useful? You know, as we go toward the election and then as they do the work in the field. So where are people about this? Is there a way we can do a poll?
We can have a show of hands if that works. Would you like people to put their hands up if they're excited about this, or would that work? Sort of a thumbs up, thumbs down. Does that, would that mean?
Really, my question is this what's needed? Does this have traction with our network?
Okay, so we heard from Maggie that this is something that she would take to the city council candidate that she's working with. Is anybody else willing to speak to this about whether this is something that you feel you can get behind, that you're excited about? Lynn, I think, is looking for some feedback from the field. Anybody willing to raise a hand and speak to that? I see Matthew's hand is up, but he might have just been trying to vote. I think he was trying to vote.
Well, we know where Matthew is about this.
Right. Anybody else willing to express an opinion about this initiative? Does it make sense? Is it exciting? Do you have to wrap your head around it a little bit more? Or do you have major concerns, major considerations about it? I think what Lynn is expressing is that we'd like to hear some more field reflection.
Ngozi had her hand up, Dan.
Yeah, Ngozi, what's on your mind? Well, I think you're muted on your end. Do you have a mute button on your phone?
Yes, I'm sorry. I was having trouble too, but I figured it out. Mm-hmm. Okay. I know it's a new initiative, but what I like about it is that it's an opportunity to introduce civility and compassion and humanity into a process that seems to be very wild right now. Like, I don't really have any other word. It's really outside of my scope of understanding, because I'm wild out daily at some of the things that people in positions of power are doing and sharing and the energy around it. So anything that will allow for me in my role to support anyone in understanding how to appreciate diversity in perspectives and opinions, and how to do a better job at that. And for myself too, how to be able to be in a place of respectfulness in a deeper way, I think it's worth doing. I don't know how much traction it'll have, but I know that with the passion that I have, and I know with the team has, and with so many people who are really looking for answers and a way to cope and deal, this might be a possible solution, especially listening to Matthew talking about expanding this more to lay people. I see that it's beneficial.
Okay, great.
Thanks, Ngozi. Matthew had his hand up again. You're unmuted, Matt. Go ahead.
Just want to say, because we would, as Lynn said, we'd love to hear from you. It's going to help us gauge how much we put in both the peaceful dialogues, but also the cornerstones. So obviously we can't tonight, but if you have thoughts, email us. Let us know where your energy is, what you think, and anything about it, let us know. But especially if you think it's something that excites you and you would want to take on or not. I guess, Dan, maybe the info@peacealliance.org email would be a good one.
Sounds good. Yes. Thanks.
Yeah. So info@peacealliance.org. It's our main email. If you reply to the emails you get from us, that's where it'll go. So you could reply to the invitation for this call. It'd really help us if folks could share just where they're at, even if it's just blah. That's good information.
Thanks. Karen put her hand up. So Karen Johnson, over to you.
Hi, thanks. Is this a 1 hour call or an hour and a half?
It's 1 hour and we're at the top of the hour. So I'm going to beg people's patience because I want to reserve 2 minutes just to mention the action from last month. But what's on your mind?
Yeah, I really like the intention and the thought of this initiative. I would like to see the pledge or the whatever it's being called in writing. I think Judy or Terry said earlier that you're inviting feedback, but I wonder what that feedback loop will look like, and I'd like to see how it gets framed and supported. I think that would be important. Not sure if it'll get traction in this election cycle, because from my experience so far, at least the politicians are trying to use this division to their advantage, but there are a lot of citizens that don't like that. So I think if the citizens get behind it and bring it to their representatives, we could get some traction, if not in this cycle. And I'm not writing it off. It could happen in this cycle, but certainly by next cycle.
Thanks, Karen. Any of our board members want to respond to any of that or have any sort of last words about this process, the common understanding process, where we are at the moment? Okay, I imagine we'll go
Dan, back this to is the... this is I would just hope that people on the call would give us some feedback.
Okay, so
right track with this, because we're putting in a lot of, as a board, we're putting a lot of energy into this on behalf of the organization. And if the organization feels it's great, fantastic. If the organization feels like it's not the right thing right now, or it's not the right direction, we need to know that. That's really important. That's the last thing I have to say about it.
Okay. Thanks, Lynn.
You're welcome.
Okay, before we part ways, I want to bring folks' attention. We didn't create a new action month. We really wanted you engaged enough with enough time for this discussion that just happened, and we appreciate you being with us and concern. And I want to bring your attention back to the two-part action from last month. In July, those of you who are on the call will remember that the first part of the action was a inner meditation. It was a centering, grounding, self-connecting process. The second part involved connecting the truth and reconciliation process that is promoted by the National Peace and Justice Memorial and Legacy Museum in Miami. There's an opportunity for our nation to try to come to better terms with our history of racial violence. So there are many parts to this. For that action in terms of local action and healing effort is a three-part action. So I'm going to send this action sheet to everyone who's registered for this call. So if you're on the call right now, you should receive this action sheet again. What I noted on this sheet is this healing work is likely not a journey of a single day or a single year or perhaps even a single lifetime. But the positive ripples from even single moments action are impossible to measure. So the idea of healing the harms of racial violence is a big thing to take on, but step by step, we'll see what we can do. So with that, thanks for staying with us. We're 4 minutes past the top of the hour, and I really thank you all deeply for your presence and for your care, for being with us in this initiative. I'm going to unmute everyone. And you can say good night and whatever else you want to say to each other. And I wish you all a wonderful evening.
Thank you, Dan.
Good night, everybody. Night.
Happy home. Night.
Good night. Crash.